speaking of the Republican president, he will be officially commissioning the $100 million Chisamba solar plant, marking a historic moment in Zambia's journey towards energy sustainability. So that is something that you can look forward to today. And this is also good news because Stanley Bank are financiers of this particular project here, milestone achievement for Zambia's energy sector. So that's something to look forward to. And we'll talk more about it tomorrow on the Phoenix Breakfast. The main news at 8 is up next. It's 8 hours right now.
This time check was brought to you by Stanbic Bank.
Phoenix FM.
Check, check. There we go.
106.7. Bonzi.
The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
Win number money 1 million na Absa. Play your cards right, Munto Andy, and you could win big. Simply tap or swipe any of your Absa cards 5 times in a month, and you could be one of 10 lucky winners to take home and achieve 10 fin in monthly prizes, or walk away with a grand prize of 250,000 kwacha. Jalilo boo, and you cannot afford to not get lucky. Use your Absa card to enter the draw. Terms and conditions apply. Your story matters. Absa.
Good morning. The headlines. Economist warns against reckless spending as government proposes supplementary budget. Publish What You Pay calls for swift implementation of National Action Plan on business and human rights. And in global news, U.S. must rule out more strikes before new talks, Iranian minister demands. With the 8 hours main news bulletin on Phoenix, I am Paddy Mugando. Economist Neila Kopakopa has expressed concern over Zambia's proposed supplementary budget, asserting that while some expenditures like fuel arrears and debt service are unavoidable, significant increases in social programs could be reckless. The Ministry of Finance and National Planning recently tabled a 33.6 billion kwacha supplementary budget in Parliament to address growing fuel arrears, external debt obligations, and the need to sustain key social and agricultural programs. However, Mr. Kopakopa, while acknowledging that certain expenditures are vital to maintain economic stability, has warned that others risk reversing the gains made through the ongoing debt restructuring process. The economist says while the importance of social safety nets is recognized, such increases, if financed by additional borrowing, is a bad fiscal decision because not all supplementary spending is justifiable, particularly when it involves borrowing to finance areas perceived as less critical.
What is the rationale of increasing the allocation towards this, as well as why do we need to continue borrowing when we are suffering because we overborrowed in the past? Debt restructuring is a good thing, but it's coming with additional obligations. We need to comply with the revised payment terms. And if we continue adding more debt, how are we going to continue complying with the revised payment terms for the restructured debt? I don't think it's a good idea to keep on piling the debt.
Meanwhile, financial expert Patrick Mwape is optimistic that the supplementary budget will help the economy sustain the country's gross domestic product, GDP, especially through agricultural programs.
It is addressing about two critical areas, the debt servicing and also the agricultural sector. The debt servicing area is actually very, very, very important because by doing that, it will bring credibility and integrity in the financial sector and also the economy of the country. It will attract more investment, which will be able to help us and sustain the growth in the GDP of the country.
Publish What You Pay, Zambia National Coordinator Joseph Chewe has warned that Zambia risks an escalation in human rights violations in the mining sector if government delays implementing the proposed National Action Plan on Business and Human Rights. In an interview, Mr. Chewe has urged authorities to expedite the ongoing consultations and move swiftly towards the enforcement phase of the action plan to safeguard the rights of Zambian citizens, especially those in mining companies. He says while Zambia currently has no specific law guiding businesses and human rights, the country must follow the example of other mineral-rich nations that have enacted legislation to ensure mining companies respect human rights. Mr. Chewe has emphasized the need for deliberate policies and legal mechanisms that hold mining firms accountable for environmental degradation and ensure affected communities receive fair compensation. The Publish What You Pay National Coordinator has further stressed the importance of aligning national policies with international human rights frameworks, saying Zambia is now central in the global push for critical minerals such as copper, cobalt, and lithium.
In Zambia, yes, it's not law yet, but in the other countries, human rights in terms of business ethics is very, very key, and they will legislate it. Such that if the investor comes in any in that country where there is legislation, he has to abide by the principles of human rights as they conduct business. So, as they conduct business ethics, they have to put a priority on the human rights in terms of their business, on how they treat the workers, and how they look at the community. Is the human, they have already in the human rights as they conduct business.
Emerald Production Watch of Zambia President Musa Kafimbwa has called for an audit into the beneficial ownership of the increasing number of mining licenses being issued, alleging that many are controlled by foreigners using Zambian citizens as fronts. Mr. Kafimbwa has expressed concern that very few artisanal mining licenses are genuinely active under Zambian ownership, describing the situation as harmful to national interests and the growth of the artisanal and small-scale mining industry. He has attributed the issue to a lack of capital, funding, and technical capacity among Zambian mining license holders, which has led many to surrender their rights to better resourced foreign entities. Mr. Kafimbwa adds that there is an urgent need to empower Zambians in the mining sector and create multiple platforms for them to engage directly with the global market.
When they see that this year, 2025, will be close to 1 million tons of copper.
We have hopes that there are no small scale miners on the board. Very few artisanal tenements in Lufwanyama in the emerald sector. Let me put that in general, that the few artisanal licenses in Zambia among the stores, we are trying to strive and probably manage ourselves, but we just feel that the government should do a marketing, you know, atmosphere where they, you know, bring a lot of investors and they, you know, try to sell Zambia to the outside world, to those who could love to come and lift the artisanal license orders.
Finance Minister Stumbeko Mosokotwane says Zambia's positive economic outlook, driven by debt restructuring, IMF support, and a commitment to reforms, is making it an increasingly attractive destination for foreign investment, especially in the bond market. According to a recent report by Bloomberg, Zambia's bonds have become a top performer in some of the riskiest parts of the global debt market. Dr. Mosokotwane tells Phoenix News that while challenges remain, government's efforts to improve the investment climate and diversify the economy are creating positive opportunities for international investors. He notes that people are coming to buy Zambian bonds, deeming the country as a good investment destination because of the future in mining, manufacturing, agriculture, and overall economy. The finance minister also notes that Bloomberg highlighted that the economy of the country grew by 4% last year, even with the drought, creating more opportunities and confidence for investors.
When they see that this year, 2025, will be close to 1 million tons of copper production, when they see that Zambia, for the first time, instead of importing fertilizer, we are now exporting fertilizers. That was G compound. And soon, I think next year, we'll be exporting urea. When they see all this manufacturing, take drive here in Mongolia and see what kind of factories or around the outskirts, Lusaka, Lusaka and Fes. So what they see is